travel to the future, but even more interestingly, what if you could travel to the past? Is that possible? Science says don't laugh it off quite yet. There might be something to it. Well, just recently, in recent days and weeks here in the news, there are a couple of very interesting stories about people who have traveled to the future and traveled back here to warn us of things. Let me tell you what these stories are. So on this one story, a time traveler claims he's from the year 5000, and he has photographic evidence, okay, if you could believe this now. He claims he visited the year 5000, and he's got, again, some warnings to humanity. This traveler, he's only known as the name Edward, and he has his identities concealed. He said he's part of a top-secret experiment that happened in 2004. He says that he was able to travel through time and brought back a photograph of this experiment, and the photograph is Los Angeles, 3,000 years into the future. And it appears to show the Los Angeles deep underwater. Very interesting. And he goes on to say some very fascinating things in this particular story. There's another one as well that they predicted Donald Trump will be reelected and that artificial intelligence will take over the world. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, right now, friends, we're going to take over the next hour of your life here on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here, and today our co-host on the show, well, can't have a show like this without inviting Susan Price here. She's Gold Star Mother, National Voice, Veteran Advocate for Justice. Certainly she'll have something to say about this. Also, Shauna Peters. She's open-minded, ready to take it on. Well, look at her title. She's an inner world explorer and guide. So she's ready to, you know, search the jungles in Costa Rica, right, Shauna, for the future, maybe here?
For sure.
And then Linda Martinelli will help us all keep our feet on the ground because she thinks this is a bunch of rubbish, potentially. She's an entrepreneur, owner, and president of Proforma Graphic Print Source. Now, Linda, our role on this show today is to, Susan, Shauna, you help me now. What I want to do, by the time we get to the end of the hour, I want to convince Linda that it's possible, okay?
All right. We'll do our best.
We're going to convince Linda it's possible. Linda, you're going to give me those words back at the end of the show, okay?
Okay.
You're going to say, Malcolm, by golly, you changed my mind here. It is entirely possible. All right, so let's look at these stories, ladies, in the articles. You've got them as well. Let's kind of tear them apart here a moment here. So this one here on the photograph one, that particular one is in Metro out of the UK, that particular piece here. And he has a photograph, he says, this guy Edward. Now, he goes on to say, again, the photograph is Los Angeles 3,000 years into the future. Los Angeles is underwater. A lot of people wouldn't be surprised on that, just by that statement alone. But he goes on to say further on a television program, he says that he told them that humans are forced to live on giant wooden platforms because the ice caps melted. That would become global warming problem, isn't it, I guess? Or maybe that's just a natural phenomenon, maybe, Susan. I don't know, where the ice caps melted. I mean, our planet is sort of a living, breathing thing on its own. It's sort of cyclical in nature, isn't it? You know, some of these things that are happening. I mean, it's an argument. It's a discussion. But he says he was standing on a huge wooden platform, not only him, but houses, buildings, all made from wood. And he realized it was the same city, Los Angeles, but the city itself was underwater. And he said he spoke with people who told him the flood happened due to global warming, is what they blamed it on here. Now, he goes on to say, ladies, last week another man, this article goes on to say, last week another man claiming to be time traveler known as Noah, the other one I was telling you about, risked his life to tell people what will happen in the year 2030. And he claims that Yolanda Renee King, the only daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., will be president of the United States. What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, could be, could be. He's got some predictions here. He also says, Susan, that Donald Trump will win another term, but he refuses to say who will succeed him. Listen to this. When pushed for an answer, Edwards says, I can't tell you the name of the next president because, first of all, he does something really, really bad. And he's already a political figure right now on the landscape, and I can't say who he is. What do you think, Susan?
Oh boy. I kind of have an idea, but I don't want to say, but I can understand why he said what he did. Most people don't know that President Eisenhower had a treaty with the Allied forces back in 1953 and appointed Rockefeller in charge. Now, this was called Project Sigma. However, the NSA had their project going called Project Plato. So you have all your intelligence agencies that are in on this knowledge. And could it be what's going on today against our president and information trying to withhold from the public and all the manipulation and weaponization taking place on this level of life? Does that have something to do with the future?
Susan,
It gets really deep, Malcolm.
you
It gets
believe
deep.
that a lot of these I think you do believe that many of our government agencies are doing a lot of these speculative programs and experiments, and the public is just simply not aware of it, right?
Well, I do believe because I know whistleblowers at the highest level. They're actually friends of mine, and I've done a lot of digging and research
I
through
knew you were
the
hanging around with a rough crowd, Susan Price. I knew it.
I do have a rough crowd, yes.
Shauna Peters, I don't know who you're hanging around with, but you got to tell me here. What do you think of this first story about the one I shared with you about Edward Number One and his predictions and all? Any truth to it, you think? Time travel or what? Could it be true?
Well, I think the possibility exists. I am very much into possibilities. So I would not stake a claim like, yes, this actually happened. However, I myself, and I love when I hear anybody else think in this way. You know, the history is a story of things that are impossible only until they are possible. And so to write it off, because so far it has been impossible in your lifetime and in all previous lifetimes, is just not a logical way to dismiss a story like this to me. There are many things we don't know and don't understand. And so I won't say, well, I'd stake my life that this happened, but I won't say that it didn't either. Because, you know, when you think about people 500 years ago, would they be able to understand the things that we do now? When you think about your life 25 years ago, could you have imagined smartphones, smart devices? No, life is changing so quickly. And because we're stepping into the world of quantum physics, that is accelerating our understanding of life, our technology so quickly. And this is a very quantum physics issue right here that we have going on. So that's how I look at it. So,
And we're going to talk more
Linda.
about that too. Interesting. Well, sounds like you're open-minded. All right, Miss Linda, not believer, not sure what the hell we're talking about really today. You
All
hear
right,
the
Malcolm.
well, you hear the lady set this up, and you hear Shauna, she has a bit of a point there, does she not, or what?
She absolutely does. And surprise, surprise, I agree with her. So it's not that I don't believe that time travel can happen. I don't believe that it has happened. And when we talk about these two gentlemen, here's where my mind goes, because my mind goes right to the practical. So first of all, we have a photograph. Did he take a camera with him? Because I doubt in 2,500 years they're going to have these same kind of Polaroid cameras that this guy came back with a photograph of Los Angeles underwater. And then I think Los Angeles 2,500 years from now would not look like that underwater. It's not going to look like it looks today. And then if they're floating on the raft, and where did they get the wood for the rafts and all the houses if everything's underwater? And then wouldn't wood kind of disintegrate in the water? I go to all the practical things. So
Okay.
his story doesn't hold
All right.
water. to me.
Sort of doesn't hold water. Well, I got to tell you what, I'm going to poke some holes in your theory right now, Linda, and tell you this, that first of all, they built all the wooden platforms already in advance as the water was coming in and the caps, the polar caps were flooding. You know, human beings are prepared that way. So we sort of prepared and we built a lot of these establishments in advance. So they were already there and there was a natural way to exist once the caps were, that was happening. We were getting flooded. What do? It's like when you build on the coast, Linda. And you build a house, you build it on stakes, you know, on those poles there. Yeah, whatever they call them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
And you put your house and you extend it upward. It's the same thing. And they're doing this with houses and buildings because, again, the land was in short supply because of the flood. Well, listen, they're already talking about our coastlines are in jeopardy and that they're going to be from a natural cause of doing nothing. Whether or not the global thing or not the warming thing or how much Americans are hitting on that is not really the conversation, but the point is it happens. Next of all, as far as the camera goes, he didn't take a camera with him. The cameras are easy at that point of life. They got cameras that are built into your bodies, for God's sake. Someone swam in the water. They swam downward. They took a picture of the city there, and that's what it was. I mean, and so they got a picture. They had cameras there. He didn't take the camera with him, and he didn't have to take it back, but they had cameras in the future.
And yeah, so, I think that people would be by that time. Uh-huh. And the earth is going to flood. Oh. I think they'd go live on the moon.
On the moon?
Sure.
Yeah, but you can't breathe. You don't have oxygen.
Yeah, they have to. Well, again, they can build a building that has oxygen. I mean, but you're right. Human beings are so creative and we will find a way to survive. Whatever that way is, I agree
well,
with that.
Well, there is talk about us doing these kinds of colonies on Mars, which again is a problem,
right.
Back to oxygen and stuff. But on Mars, there's a lot of talk about that these days. And, you know, which sounds like at some point they're going to try to put a human colony up there, Susan, you think?
Well, I wanted to mention, Malcolm, most people don't realize that underneath the United States, from state to state, there are underground dumps, and I did a story on it, deep underground military bases. And I've never been down there because you have to have the highest security clearances. But they say that in various ones, they're dealing with alien life force and 11 different tribes, supposedly. I don't know, but this is from my research and people that do know. So who knows what kind of information we could take into the future,
Susan,
knowing this.
Do you think the alien life form, are they Democrats or Republicans?
They're neither.
Let's hope.
Well, she's saying
they're
alien
neither.
Life form. They got to be one of the other ladies. I mean, come on, you know? But all right.
I know. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
Well, it is. But you think of time. When you look at, as you said earlier, Shauna, the quantum physics of all of this, and you really get into the science of it, is truly, truly fascinating. And there are people who study this who really understand it in depthly. I mean, you know, none of us are at that level of thinking, but there are people who really understand all of the pieces of this thing, quantum physics, and really understand. So when you look at scientifically, a lot of this is very possible, they are saying, just mechanically speaking, and so within the logistics of the universe and what can happen. And we'll talk about some of that today, because if you look at that, there's the initial argument, ladies, is this. You can travel to the future, they think, but you can't travel to the past. Now they're saying if you travel to the past, then your grandparents might not have been born already. And then what happens if you're born and you're there in the past and you get this whole thing? So are your relatives living in another state of mind at another place in presence? And is this what happens when we expire here? Is there another moment of time where we pop up somewhere? Interesting, huh?
Right. And that's one of the issues of studying and learning about quantum physics is you cannot wrap your mind around it. And I have sat in a number of classrooms and experienced the feeling myself of just wanting to beat my head against the wall, because the mind that we are trained to live in, the very logical mind that we are trained to function in, and particularly in North America, cannot hold this concept. And so it's very, very difficult. And so we run into these blocks. And I again would like to say, though, just because our left brain logical mind is running into these blocks does not mean it cannot happen. It's just we cannot contain it with that aspect of our being.
Right. Imagine though, Shauna, if we could fast forward. I mean, I have to tell you the truth of the matter is, Shauna, I've thought about this often, love. This has entered my mind many, many times, in all honesty. I have thought it because I think in these big, grandiose ways, Linda. And so I've thought about this often, actually, not well before this moment. But I think about, another moment of time. And I find it all very interesting to me. Do we come from another moment of time, or what happens if we could get to that moment of time, and what does that really mean? Of course, I tend to step back, Shauna, and look at the big picture of life and think, okay, I love to do that in all these conversations. At 35,000 feet, what does this look like? What do we really look like, and what are we really doing here? What's the grand purpose? So I ask these questions daily, Shauna. I mean, I find them fascinating, hon. I find the whole thing
Yeah,
about
and I
life.
mean, then you look at the concept of time. What do most people consider time? They consider it to be a linear concept. So we have the past over there, we have the present still to come, and we're like in the center of this timeline. However, that's a very new concept in the history of world thought. Most people who have existed on the face of the earth thought of time as something more like a spiral.
A
And
spiral.
that's really hard for us to take in that that the time is a spiral. It's not consecutive things happening one after another. And when you think of it in a spiral, it's a lot easier to understand that time travel can exist because it's not a consecutive sequence of things happening. Because you're like, how can I go back there? Or how can I go forward? That's a linear time concept, right? Spiral time, very different concept to think, how could I jump to a different place on a spiral?
God, Shauna, you didn't let me down. I'm so happy with that. So happy. I really am. I knew you could bring the goods on this baby. I knew that. Now, so here's the thing. Some of the conversation is what they're calling about constructing a wormhole. A wormhole. Let's talk a minute here. Let me say this. Now, I want everybody to follow what I'm saying because we're going to talk about it now, and then we're going to talk about it after the break as well. We're going to talk about it throughout the show. I want to follow a thread here, ladies. Okay? All right? All right? Let's start the thread here. And I want to read right from this interesting piece here. I've done a little research on this as well. If you travel close to the speed of light, now we got the speed of light, ladies, and we got the speed of sound. Now the speed of light is that's beyond instantaneous, I mean that's crazy, right? The speed of light, right? If think about through the galactical universe is when the sun, when we get up in the morning, the speed of light from the sun. I mean that's like the speed of light is crazy. It's crazy fast,
Right.
I mean, the speed of sound, not nearly so fast, but the speed of light, wow. So if you travel close to the speed of light, you experience a phenomenon known as time dilation. Okay, time dilation. Your motion through space and your motion through time are related by the speed of light. Now, the greater your motion through space, okay, the less your motion through time. You understand what we're saying there? So your motion through space and your motion through time are related by the speed of light. So the greater your motion through space, the less your motion through time. Which is why in a lot of those futuristic movies, Linda, you would leave, go somewhere as a young man and come back and everybody's aged and you're still young.
Right.
You understand? That's cool. That this I'm all over this anti-aging program, Linda Martinelli. I'm going to sign
Well,
up for this one. I want to be on the experiment road for this.
I think that would be very cool.
Oh
And
man, would it be cool?
but I don't know if I wonder if our bodies, our physical bodies, could
Well,
take the stress of this. But energy, since energy can neither be created nor destroyed,
right.
then I like your idea that the energy that you have might be able to go somewhere and come back as something else, because that part of you that is your energy and your life force can't be created nor destroyed.
I love
So,
energy. God, I love energy.
Well,
And
and Malcolm, and that's part of the controversy with the RFID chipping and the AI intelligence
okay.
and the talk of having us become more computerized within our bodies. and our minds, and I can see how this would layer itself and go in that direction.
All right, that's a great setup. Hold what you got. Put that on ice. Linda, you say something really interesting there about the bodies being able to handle that. That's an important point for me. I want to talk about that ahead as well. How can our bodies handle this, and what does it look like? You know, I used to love that show, ladies, Lost in Space. Remember Will Robinson?
I did,
you know?
Too.
Wasn't that cool
danger.
Show?
Yeah.
Danger, danger, Will Robinson is here. We'll be back in a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. The 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. There's a lot to this story today. I read you a couple of recent time travelers that were in the news. I don't know how documented these stories are. And then Susan says, well, wait a minute. There are a lot of government agencies playing in the Play-Doh here, Malcolm. We just don't know everything that's going on. And she, again, Susan hangs with a rough crowd, you got to remember. So she knows a lot of this stuff already. And of course, Shauna is full of facts and figures. And I knew she would help me do some heavy lifting today. That's why I had her on this show. And Linda, of course, is going to be, she's going to come along with us by the end of the show today. She's going to say, Malcolm, you were right. We can time travel. I'm ready to do it. Let's go. Having said that, so this whole thing of traveling. So I started to read to you about the time dilation, this phenomenon known as time dilation, which means when you're, it's like when the space shows, friends. When you're out in the space shuttles and those ships and what have you, they would stay younger, then come back and people had aged. Which really is fascinating, that you could meet your younger ones, people that are not even born yet, or others that are, you know, young, that would be older, but you would still be the way you look. God, I like, that's like the ultimate anti-aging program, I gotta tell you. That I'm all over, man. That I like, ladies. I like that. Keeping your energy, Susan, your stamina. Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, but let's take a look here further through some of this here a moment, okay? So imagine you had a destination that was 40 light years away, and you were able to travel at incredibly high speeds, over 99.9% the speed of light. Well, if you got into a spaceship and traveled very close to the speed of light towards that star, then stopped, turned around, and returned back to Earth, you'll find something very interesting. Due to the time dilation and length contraction, you might reach your destination in only 1 year, Linda. Get a load of this. And then come back in just another year. But back on Earth, 82 years would have passed.
Wow.
So everyone you know would have aged tremendously. This is the standard way this time travel works. I find that quite fascinating. So your motion through space.
Gone.
What's that?
That you know would be everybody that you knew and loved would be gone, and you have to start all over again.
Yeah, well, I'd still be partying, honey. It's okay. It's all right. I'd still be partying, man. I'd party with the new people. It's all right. I can do that. So party with the new people. I got enough energy to do that. All right, let me talk to you about something else about this. And Shauna, you were on this. I need your help with this next piece here about the wormhole. The wormhole. So if you can, so here's what they're thinking. This is really cool stuff. If you construct a wormhole, like was just described about the time travel now, okay? The story sort of changes, ladies. So imagining one end of the wormhole remains very close to motionless, close to Earth, like it's close to the planet here, ladies, okay? You with me? All right?
Yes.
The other one goes off on a journey, a relativistic journey close to the speed of light. You then enter this rapidly moving end of the wormhole after it's been in motion for perhaps a year. What happens? Well, a year isn't the same for everyone, particularly if they're moving through time and space differently. So if we talk about the same speeds as we did earlier, the in-motion end of the wormhole would have aged 40 years, but at the rest end would have aged by 1 year only. So you step into this relativistic end of the wormhole, and you arrive back on Earth only 1 year after the wormhole was created, while yourself may have had 40 years of time to pass. So I love this concept of aging. This is like the ultimate anti-aging program. So it really gets fascinating with the wormhole thing, Shauna. So if we had a wormhole set up, like if this was really doable, okay, if 40 years ago somebody created such a pair of entangled wormholes, they say, and then set off on this journey, it would be possible to step into one of them today. And in 2017, it wind up back in time at the mouth of the other one back in 1978. The only issue is that you yourself couldn't have also been at that location back in 78, Shauna. You needed to be with the other end of the wormhole or traveling through space to try and catch up with it. It's kind of freaky, isn't it?
It is. I think what this makes me really think about, though, is this seems really based on the physical reality. And I don't place as much importance on the things that are physical. Like when you understand at a quantum physics level, there is nothing physical. There is only possibility and probability. The chair that you're sitting on, that is really only probability and possibility. So this seems very physically based. And I think that's why we're having a really hard time wrapping our minds around the possibility of time travel. I don't think it's so physically based. You know, I don't think the physicalness of who I am or who this, what this room I'm sitting in is the main thing about me or this room I'm sitting in.
Listen to this. Play on what you just said, Shauna. Listen to this now, please. Even if the wormhole were created before your parents were conceived, there's no way for you to exist at the other end of the wormhole early enough to go back and find your grandfather prior to that critical moment. The best you can do is to put your newborn father and mother on a ship to catch the other end of the wormhole. Have them live, age, conceive you, and then send yourself back through the wormhole. Golly, this is after how many gin and how many tonic and gins, you think?
That's a very linear concept, though, because that's saying, okay, I was born in 1976, and that is the beginning of my existence. Mm-hmm. Was that the beginning of my existence? I don't think so.
Well, a great many unusual things become possible in the universe if negative mass energy is real, abundant, and controllable. But traveling backwards in time might be the wildest one we've ever imagined. Owing to the oddities of both special and general relativity, time travel to the past might not be forbidden after all. So they're studying this and thinking you might even be able to travel back to the past. And actually, quite a few investigative pieces say the same thing here, that it might be possible. Susan, this whole notion of the fact that time, as you say, it's there are layers of time, and you travel back and forth accordingly. So, like, I think a lot of the time, Susan, I think about, God, I wish I could do that over again. You know, when I was back and made stupid decisions when I was 18, 19, and 20. You follow me? I said, God, I wish I could have that decision back again. Stupid shit you do as a kid, you know? And I say, if I could only have that decision back again, or if I could have that decision back again, or maybe I would have done that differently. But we don't really get a chance to play it differently. Wouldn't this time travel screw that all up?
Well, of course it would. It changes everybody's destiny. But also...
it would be like reaching for the perfect life, Susan. The perfect. What's the perfect life look like, right?
Well, I've thought about it too, like you, Malcolm. But in actuality, like all the ladies today, you know, we don't know. This is too much for us to reach our head around to grab and think about this concept. We're spiritual beings playing out an earthy existence, first of all. So, and then it takes me back to wondering, what did Tesla invent? Did he create this time machine as well? Because, you know, he was killed, and everything he had was taken away from him. And I've heard and read about some of these theories.
Are you speaking of Elon Musk? Specifically?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
He's
not
a bit of a weirdo, isn't he, Susan, or not?
Yeah, he's a whack job.
Yeah, he seems like a whack job to me. People like him, though. They think he's like the hot shit or something, you know?
But there's something is brewing with this concept, because you have the Bilderberg group is heavily invested into this.
Really?
So what is their... Oh, yeah. So one has to wonder, and so are all the intelligence agencies. So is this the most guarded secret of secrets? And it's kind of funny that you chose the subject, because I can see how it parallels what's going on politically.
Well, yeah, right. Well,
agencies.
Linda, do you really think that all there is right this moment of time, right where we sit and stand right now and we communicate, that this is all that exists in the entire universe of universes is just us right now at this moment of time?
I don't necessarily think that that's the case, Malcolm, but I think that it's the case for us right now. I don't necessarily think it's the case for the entire universe, because we don't know what we don't know. And there, as I say, you know, energy can't be created nor destroyed. So since there is so much energy, and each of us have what I call a soul, which is energy, that there's all kinds of possibilities with that. And I don't think that the physical human body can go somewhere else right now in time. But the possibility to me that's more exciting is there a way for our energy to momentarily leave us and go somewhere else? And that would be something that I could accept and explore more, because that's not
interesting.
It's not bound by.
Well, hold on. There is a way I can do that. When I speak in front of a large crowd of 10,000 people to get them so revved up they pee their pants, then I leave the room and they're so freaking energized. Come on, Linda, I do that all the time.
But energy is there's so much that we don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
Right.
I would be really interested with what Susan says, that somebody's really doing research on this. I just don't see yet that the human body can go somewhere else. But I have a question that I would love to ask the three of you about
Throw
time travel. So if you could time travel and now you can go step into your machine and go somewhere, where would you go? Would you go to the future or the past, and where?
Wow.
And what year? And what do you want to see?
Let's have Susan answer that first, because I know we're going to get some crazy ass answer. Go ahead, Susan.
Not really. I'm pretty humble and I'm very spiritual.
All right.
I actually would go backwards, because, you know, more than half the people in my life have passed, including my son. So I would go backwards and recap some of those times in my childhood and young motherhood.
Wow.
And thank you for asking.
Wow. You'd go backwards to when you were just, when your children were young?
Yeah, and to know what I know, to take that with me so that
hold on.
And I enjoyed the moment.
You do. But that's interesting, Susan. Hold on a minute. I want to touch on that. Because knowing you as I do now, I think that's a profound thing, Linda, because Susan would change the course of events and times, because then she would save the life of her son.
Right. Others, too.
You're right. But your son was right there. And that when they were sabotaged by our government and military out in Afghanistan.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right, Susan?
Yep.
Absolutely.
And so you got it. That's exactly
Bet
what
your
I
ass.
Would do.
That's where
and I
you'd
think
go.
About it all the time.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And you know
because
what?
Because if I change that part of my past, then our future would be brighter
because we
have all these valorous. Yeah.
So you know what? Then I want to nominate you to be the first one to time travel to the past then.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I
you
would,
can go
too.
Do that. I know you would. You'd do it in a hot second. All right, Shauna, where are you going, love?
Yeah. I think I would also go to the past. I would go to a point in my life when I was quite small and experienced a great amount of pain. And I would share with myself where I would be in the future, that I would be healthy and whole, because I was not for so many years of my life. And I too would change the course of history. And, you know, that's one of the arguments they talk about. Well, if people go back, they'll change the course of, but who doesn't know that there aren't multiple possibilities existing? Why can't we shift into another possibility?
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Hmm.
Like, why is this course we're on the one that we have to be on? To me, the thought of other possibilities is just exciting. That's the course of my life, finding the possibility I enjoy the most.
Yeah, I kind of question that a lot, Shauna. And, you know, when you talk like this, which I just love, by the way, I want to tell people, just give them a Surgeon General's warning, you do this without even being on drugs. Which is
Well, I
fabulous.
was at a cacao ceremony this weekend, which
Ah, there it is. There it
to
is.
get
She is
cacao
high on
with.
life, Malcolm.
Oh, she's just crazy. I love it. I love the way she's always willing to explore something, which is just awesome. I hear what you're saying, Shauna, with all of that said, and interesting. Let me answer before you do, Linda, because you asked the question, and I'll answer as well here. And I would, my first answer, I have three answers, believe it or not, ladies. My first answer, I would go back to the past as well, initially. I would go back to just before Jesus Christ was put on the cross. I'd like to see what
Interesting.
happened then. I would like to see this scene play out and see what the events were that maybe, how does that reflect on humanity? What might we have changed? How could I take that image forward to humanity today? So that's my number one thought. I find that very interesting, that scene. I've actually thought about that scene before. When you look at him on the cross and you look at the soldiers there and you look at the people around, I'm fascinated with that scene, ladies, as to why
Yes,
nobody,
I
no,
understand.
I'm fascinated with why nobody on the planet didn't stop it from happening.
Yes.
Now we know why. We know why. I'm not suggesting we don't know, but I'm saying I'm fascinated that there wasn't some heroic person that stopped. The second answer I would give you, being a big thinker here, is I would take it back to the scene in the garden with Adam and Eve, and I would change that whole paradigm. Maybe we'd get rid of evil forces and all kinds of things, Susan. That would be kind of cool, right?
Give her a plum instead of an
Give
apple.
her a plum instead of an apple or a banana, even, whatever. Just tell her to knock it off. Knock it off. So you can't be biting those apples, right? Is that kind of what the way that goes here? So that would be quite interesting. That scene there. The third delivery, the third moment I want to do, Linda, is I would like to go in the future to the moment when there's that. I don't know when this is, Linda, but it's that critical intersection when humanity is at a tipping point, a turning road. That might even be right now at the moment in time. It could be right as we speak, right this very moment. And oftentimes I think I'm put here for a reason to really help humanity in many ways. I have this asphyxiation in me of my energy, ladies, to be able to want to do good. And so, Linda, I think about it in those terms and I think, okay, I would go. So, you know what's kind of funny is when you say back to the future, I could be right at that moment right now, Linda. Because that's my other option, is go right to the moment of the intersection of humanity when it needs me the most, Linda.
There's so many choices of where you could go if you really think about it. And when you mentioned going back to the crucifixion, that would be a great place to go and make something different happen in the world. And whether those things are good things or not good things, I don't know. You could also talk about going back and stopping Hitler and all the lives that would save.
Yeah, but Linda, if you went back to the scene in the garden, you would have never had Hitler.
Well, that's true. But what else would you never have had? I don't know. So here's my place I would go. I don't want to change anything in the past because I don't know the consequences of what happens from doing that. But I would love to go back in the past, just not very far in the past, and go back to kind of the cowboy western days and when people were traveling across the country in covered wagons. That's just so fascinating to me. As I travel across the country, sometimes in vehicles, I think about
Interesting.
people traveling in
Interesting.
covered wagons.
Yeah,
And
that time freaks me out. I don't like that time, Linda.
I just think it's so interesting. So
Because there's no
I don't
hair
know. I
dye
want to
then,
be like
Malcolm?
Miss Kitty at the
Yeah.
tavern there
Did you hear,
in the
Shauna?
West.
No hair dryer at all either? You're going to put up with that?
Repercussions happen with life from that.
I would have gone back and put more seeds in my head, so I would have hair like Fabio, you know? I'd have hair like Fabio, and I would look like the manly man. That would be the women would all just ooze over, say, "There he is, that dude, that immortal man." Oh my God! Hold that thought. We'll be back. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
You know, it is funny how we adapt. Like Shauna would say, it's just a thing. It's the way, right, Shauna? It's like we adapt to whatever we adapt to, right?
I think so, yeah. And I think that's why there probably will be people on Mars someday, because people like the adventure. They get bored. They want to cross a new frontier.
You're all about new frontiers. You moved from Canada to Costa Rica for a new frontier theory. You're like a modern day Little House on the Prairie gal, Shauna Peters. You are. You get in the stagecoach and off you go to Costa Rica. Would you go to another foreign land? Would you go to the moon
to
or Mars?
Outer space?
Would you go to outer space, Shauna?
My daughter is set on it in her lifetime. I don't think that's an adventure I need, but I've got some other countries lined up where I'm going to live for sure.
Listen to her. She just took a quick exit, ladies, huh? Susan, would you go ahead and get out to the space or planet or future or something? Would you?
Yeah, no ambition at the moment to go to another world, but ask me in 5 years, you know,
I could alter
my opinion.
See,
right. Never know.
I would do it. Linda, do you think I would go to another planet or a ship or something?
I think you absolutely would get on that spaceship and take a ride.
Be an adventurer, right? There's something about all of this, Linda, that I find really fascinating. It's something about mankind. And one of the heaviest things out of the show today, when you asked that profound question, Linda, and the third example I gave was something I sort of try to live my life back, and how can I give back to humanity, or how can I best contribute to this, you know, this party we're having here, you know, this party of life, you know. And I look at that intersection, Linda, which is really kind of an intersection of what we've tried to do here with our platform even. But I think about, where does humanity need us the most? How do we make an impact in all of this? Kind of a profound thing, isn't it, Linda?
It is, but I think that it needs us right here and right now, and that's why we are right here and right now. And this is our time to make the difference in our world, and that's what's important.
Well,
yeah, I agree.
You agree. You see, yes, you bring it all back down. And you agree too. All three of yous are just total prudes here. Total prudes. Totally. So you're not up to having a wormhole and crawling through it to get somewhere and come back and see everybody 90 years. Would it be interesting to see your kids, and your kids are older than you? Wow.
No, I don't want to see the future at all. I'm perfectly good right where I am.
You don't want to see the future.
I don't want to see the future.
Does the future scare you, Linda?
No, not at all. I just, there's so much in life every day that I don't need to go somewhere else and see what's going to happen. I like the adventure of not knowing what's going to happen.
I would go for a look, but I would return here. This is my time and this is my place, and I love it.
You know, it'd be really interesting, Shauna, if you could travel in that worm-like thing and meet your older self or your younger self.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess, talk about energy. How could that happen?
Well, I don't know. I think I've maybe already done it, visited my younger self before.
Talk to me on that. Now, that's interesting, because I think maybe you have as well. Tell me how that happened and what that was like.
Sometimes I've trained to alter my brainwave. And you can do all sorts of interesting things there. I encourage people to look into it. You have no idea what's possible, what you can do. And I will call in particularly my 7-year-old self, and I'll play with her. I'll sit with her, and I love it. It's a beautiful experience.
And I have done that as well. but going back to the past lifetimes ago.
So you do it in your mind, and, you're saying, right? You do it in your mind, Susan?
Well, yeah, but I've been doing it since I was a child. So it's just amazing where it takes you, where you're, and it could be a part of your imagination, but I saw the silver cord tied to my body. I saw myself in Tibet with my son, and I was his mother, getting him ready for school on one occasion. And another occasion, I lived in the Stagecoach days, and I had all kinds of herbs and that on the shelf, and I still love all the oils and the herbs and all that. So I know it's crazy. Is it part of our imagination, our creativity, or do we really go there in these places?
Or is it that energy that cannot be created nor destroyed that has mm-hmm. been to all kinds of places in the past?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that takes Memory, you back so. There when you want it to, when your human body can free that
right.
to go mm-hmm. back and visit that. Now that, Malcolm, I'm open to.
And I love that. It's so much fun to do that.
I really feel that we and the worlds that have existed exist as information. Information is energy. And if you know how to mm-hmm. access mm-hmm. information,
right.
you can go wherever you want to go. I believe that's totally possible.
Well,
and I think children, as Susan was saying, children have an easier time because A, they don't have these belief systems that it's impossible, which you get as you're growing up, and right. they function in different brainwave states than adults do. And I think they're doing it all the time.
So it's the control of your mind, and you're really all over that, Shauna, the control of your mind, which really is a big gift in life because a lot of that comes back to discipline. When you have discipline and you can control the surroundings and the mindset, you can do like incredible things, Shauna. So that's what we're really speaking here about, controlling your thoughts, or at least being able to use your thoughts and empower yourself, right? And like Susan does, go back and think about a different period of time, like you're actually really there. All right, let me ask you all this, please. Here's the big, big deal here. All right, Linda, I would like you to start us off, please. Think about this a moment, ladies, all of you here. If you went back, you know, let's just call it 25 years back from now, okay? So if it is 1993, and you could come forward to 2018 and see the world the way it is now, what would you warn the folks back in 1993 about? What's the warning sign that you would say about today, you know, to make humanity better?
Oh, gosh. Wow. That's a big question. One of my passions is our schools and our teachers and so forth. And I think that one of the things that I would like to go back and change, if possible, is our educational system to not be just like the article I just wrote, to not be preaching to our kids. I want them to be teaching to our kids and not indoctrinating our kids. And I think that
right.
that those things are important. I think that I would have more warnings about the video games with all the guns and shoot 'em up and so forth in the video games and the electronics that mm-hmm. we're using that are taking over our kids' lives. Those types of things. I mean, we could get into all kinds of political things and so forth, but those two little things are things that seem small and seem small at the time, but have really changed our direction in our country and in our world.
Well, in many ways, those things have caused what I call a cause and reaction. So the cause and reaction of those items you're speaking about could have basically created the Columbine incident. They could have created the incident in Parkland. They could have done a lot of things, right?
Right.
I mean, they could have changed the societal
right.
rift, the protesters, all the stuff out there. Shauna, do the same thing. Take it back and then bring it forward. What would you tell the world?
You know, Linda just started out saying this is a passion for myself. I think I would want to encourage people to consider their passion, and so often we're like, well, it's not really possible, but that's what I'm saying. So many possibilities exist. And what is in the way of that other possibility that you dream of is usually really very small when we have somebody to walk us through that or assist us with that. Let your passion guide you, because then we have people like Linda, you know, she's saying, this is what I would give to the world, and someone else would give something else. And when we follow our passions, I think we'd have it all covered.
Susan Price, I'm dying to hear what you would say from 1993 to 2018. I knew you were going to have I knew you were going to put some kind of a big answer on the pot here. So what would you tell the world back in 1993, love?
It's really simple, and I have two things. So the first one would be to be the watchman for the weaponization that's taken place of vaccinations, food, water, air, all of these everyday things that affect our lifestyle. Those have been weaponized against us. So to have been a watchman on that post so we could prevent that from happening. The other, and very most importantly, is not to allow them to take God out of our life, our children's life, out of the schools, out of the churches. To me, that's very important.
So, that one I would also do right there with you, Susan.
Yeah, that's very, very, the most important. You know, life is lived on a belief system. If you don't believe anything, you have no purpose, no passion. And, you know, that's important because my family and I believe in God and a belief system, and you know, we've seen the erosion of it.
Listen to all of these items and the hot spots you all put on the plate, the denominator for all of this really comes back to evil. So I think what I would say back in 1993, that we've got to be prepared for a lot of bad seeds that are coming our way, with terrorist activities, with people who want to blow buildings up, people that want to, you know, harm as many people as they can. There's a fight. It's a fight for spirituality. It's a fight for good versus evil. It's a fight, again, with the lack of God in their life, as you said, Susan, moments ago, right?
That's a very big part of reality.
Big part of
what's going on.
It's the intersection of it. It's the crux of the whole thing. Yeah, that's it, Susan. It is the crux.
And the more that we take God out, the worse it gets.
Oh, totally. Totally.
You better believe it. Amen.
Because it's a fight versus good versus evil. So it's a fight versus, you know, Lucifer on one side and the entire Satanistic world that it is, which is where all this evil comes from. It's evil energy, Linda. It's all this negative energy and horrible evil stuff versus the life of a more, you know, positive life of God in your life and all the things that are good for humanity. You know, when you come through something as horrific as a school mass shooting, and you see that any human being on the planet that would be capable of walking in with a semi-automatic rifle and start blowing human beings away, I mean, how do you equate that, ladies, but equate that to the devil?
I don't know. Well, that's a really a complicated issue, but yeah. I would say I have a different view. When we talk about evil and good being two opposite things, we immediately throw ourselves back into linear thinking, dualistic thinking. And that is a split mind thinking. Separate thinking is split mind thinking, opposites. And in quantum physics, there is only one thing that exists. Okay. It exists in all. And there is a parable in the Bible, and probably more than one, mm-hmm. where they are discarding the weeds from the wheat. And they say, you don't just separate the weeds from the wheat. You don't know which is which now. And in the end, it will be separated. Don't make those judgment calls, at least not as readily as we are prone to do about what is good and evil. We do not understand. We only understand from a very small perspective and then make these judgments, which creates a lot of fear in our life, a lot of separation in our mind and in our thinking. And I think as we're moving towards these concepts such as time travel, we are moving to a different way of existence. And that is to the concept that there is only one. There is no short and tall. It all exists within a concept of height. And that's a very different way to move our minds into that. That's something that I'm working on, and I'm not there yet. I don't know if I'll accomplish in a lifetime, but I hope to experience it.
But from the beginning of time, there has been good and evil, as I've learned, or as I've been taught in my life. And I do believe in those concepts of good and evil. And there are people that are just evil. And there are people who may not be evil people, but they do evil things. Those are things that the good side or the godly side, we're just going to have that fight until the end of time, I think.
Well, Shauna, you're kind of saying whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
I'm saying look back to the story before the choice was made for the apple. There was no separation. Mm-hmm. There was no separation. That is where we began. There was no good and evil. Then, because of whatever happened, we developed into this duality. But I would love to see the world come to the place where we started, where there was no separation. There was no duality. We'll live in a very different place.
Wow.
When you live in that place, you don't experience fear. You don't experience separation from God. It's not even a concept that could exist.
And I think that that's what we'll have in our next life.
Wow, that is interesting. Susan, what ship are you going on?
Well, and I believe it's not what happens to us, but how we choose to react in that, because there's different levels of existence. So you can choose to be trapped on the negativity or move up a little bit and keep continuing to spiral upwards in your spirituality and learning and knowledge.
The entire conversation of time traveling is a very fascinating talk. But again, bringing it back to where we are in our existence, there is something unique about this entire story, something unique about life itself and humanity and where we sit. And I love to take a look at these things at 35,000 feet. And it's been interesting today. Thank you for being part of this, friends, here. Susan Price, Linda Martinelli, Shauna Peters. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.